SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Labor Day Monday. Race fans, Sirius 219 XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online, and at our website too, stevebick.com. Joined this morning here on Labor Day by Bandit, the summer of 18 kitten, making his way upstairs for the first time. A Labor Day that sees the Saratoga and Del Mar summers come to an end. And, I guess that was an invitation to say something really awful. I won't, wisely. Pulled myself up. The incident, I can't believe I have to start a weekend recap and an introduction to closing day at Oceanside and here in Saratoga with a police matter, a police blotter. But last night, after most of us on the East Coast had wrapped up our race play and Sunday action at Saratoga, we, Gary, Josephine, and Tina and I were at Pinnell's, and at Del Mar, a gunplay incident, and I just unbelievable. Jay, I got some texts about it late in the evening, and then saw the Twitter portions of it. A gunman pulls out a pistol because he can't get into the concert after the races, and they close things off. They were at capacity. He was tased and shot, and thank goodness nobody else was. But unbelievable. I mean, just ridiculous. So if you haven't seen this and heard about it, there's your advisory. I don't know what to say. It's just crazy. There was one notable, it's funny, I will say one thing. Some people wondered at Saratoga before the big days if there was going to be those enhanced security measures, and granted, this wasn't a racetrack race day specific incident. It was tied to the concert going, but it still does bring up the point that those enhanced security measures that everybody kind of sometimes kind of grouses about, they're not so crazy. And the point was made by Jay in his excellent spot reporting that, you know, the only time the Del Mar has used metal detectors has been was Breeders' Cup. So, and here at Saratoga too, it's only been the big Saturdays. Well, why is that specifically, you know, a more likely day? I guess bigger crowds, but it's no less likely a day to have a problem of that type, right? Anyway, it's kind of Mars, obviously, the weekend. Just thank goodness there wasn't other innocent people injured, just frightened, obviously. Meanwhile, let's talk about what a good weekend of racing it's been and how it's going to continue. We're not done. It's Labor Day weekend, obviously, and Monday, this is always a good race day with a number of not just the season-ending stakes, but other interesting events around the country, including places like Philadelphia, for instance, today, the Greenwood Cup and the Turf Monster. $500,000, actually. $200,000 in the Greenwood and $300,000 in the Turf Monster. And racing about 16 or 18 venues North America today. So we'll obviously do some handicapping late. Hour three, Nick Tamaro, who very frequently stops by on holiday Mondays. We'll check with Nick, get some of his closing day plays. Johnny D at hour two, and there was a very exciting end to the Fun in the Sun contest. I'm not gonna do a spoiler alert. We'll talk about it with Johnny. Quite something, actually, and we'll congratulate all the participants and the winners and crown the winners. We talked to Johnny and get some thoughts from him. The Woodward here, an elder companion piece in the final analysis, it ends up being a real companion to the Travers, because here was Yoshida and his opportunity to impact a grade one on the dirt. And there, the connections, in fact, we had Sol Kumin on TV, and I'm going to get to Sol later this week. Sol, part of the ownership group, and Bill Mott had a wait and see. What he called it, I won't even say quiet optimism, but he said, I was going to take a wait and see with this. He said he certainly a horse that had gotten over the dirt well enough, and certainly plenty of dirt pedigree involved. If not, the Heart's Cry side of it, the Japanese Stallion versus the very nice Hilda's Passion, you'll remember from her days with Todd Pletcher and Starlight. So, Yoshida, we joked about the Belmont Derby Travers double for Catholic Boy. He pulls off the Turf Classic Woodward double. Unusual in its own right. So they've got some options. They've got winning, you're in, and that's what they'll work toward. Yoshida, Windstar, China Horse Club, SF, and Sol Kumin and his Head of Plains partners. So what a nice situation it is for this team. It's kind of interesting, of course, the people that brought you Justify. And it's funny. I hadn't thought about it until now. But here's the Justify team. And even though Starlight, not part of the ownership, Starlight, intrinsically involved because of Hilda's Passion. That's kind of crazy. That's pretty funny. So with Justify on the sidelines, that group will have a Breeders' Cup Classic participant. The rest of the storylines and two-year-olds were probably, really the place to focus. And, of course, the Hopeful today and the Futurity at Del Mar. We'll get to the boys' races. The girls' races, and we'll talk in the next half hour with Gary Contessa and with Simon Callahan, because the two-year-old filly season enders, the debutante and the spinaway, both upset. And Sipican Harbor, who had that off-the-turf maiden splash just a couple of weeks ago, 18 lengths, 17, 16, 17, 18 lengths, whatever the margin was. Well, Contessa and Lee Pecoit rolled the dice, and at 16-1, Sipican Harbor ran everybody down. The disappointment here, obviously, chasing yesterday, who did not really break with much alacrity, at the very least, and again had to be ridden. You know, much like we saw in her maiden win, it you got the sense that, you know, she was going to, you know, need to be ridden along, and there was that same into the turn motion that looked like she was bringing her into contention, and then she just absolutely flattened out and offered very little in the stretch, and really did not finish the way, you know, you kind of, certainly the way, you know, the winner, certainly the way yesterday, certainly how Dreamtree finished, not the way you expect a Baffert trainee who had plenty of, you know, elongated work in preparation to go 7 furlongs. It kind of surprising. I mean, she had had 2 6-furlong drills, and she just did not finish. And meanwhile, Sipican Harbor, given a tremendous ride by Joel Rosario, who's really had 3 stake wins on Saturday alone, and has ridden terrific. He was on Yoshida, Sipican Harbor, and then Raging Bull in the Saranac. But this was an impressive performance, and it's also a mammoth. As big as it is for Lee and Kathy Pecoit, who have known for years, and the Contessa team, it's a maybe even a bigger win for Orb. I look forward to talking to Sid, who was in town. Sid was there to root on Team Fipke. It was good to see Sid. And I'm anxious to hear from him. This is a big Grade 1 winner at just the right time for Orb. It really kind of arrived on a timely basis. Restless Rider, who went off as second choice, McPeak, and ran fine, ran well, but Sipican Harbor just blew by everybody. Went from last to first in a quarter of a mile. I mean, really looked good doing it. Got a 77, I think. 77. Yeah, 77 buyer. We'll talk to Gary, but there's a real chance that they're just going to train up. That's the way it looks to Breeders' Cup. You know, two races in a very, you know, tightly spaced. This was a filly, Justin Spaeth, Calvary Spaeth, and Equine Equity Partners bred Sipican Harbor, who was a Saratoga yearling, $260,000 out of a deputy minister mare. Blossomed. And, you know, Lee Pecoit also, it's been a very nice summer for Lee because he bred Gunmetal Gray as well out of Class of 63, which actually was a filly that Gary Siaka had of Lee's. So it's been a great summer for Lee Pecoit, who has horses. He's had jumpers over the years. He's won his share, and he's gone to the Breeders' Cup. He went with Arch Support a couple of years ago, the Juvenile Filly Turf. But this is, he seemed a little bit more excited about this, about winning a race like the Spinaway. So, when it came to Del Mar, and anxious to hear from Simon Callahan, because in some ways, I won't say in some ways. That wasn't a bigger upset. This Sipican was a big upset. Bella Fina was, she was second choice, but still. Brill, it's funny. She did take money because Mother was third choice at 7-2. But Brill, much like Chasing yesterday, just really never engaged. Just kind of, you know, off the board at 3-5. And Bellafina, I mean, was an obvious winner. You could see into the turn that she was going to run off. Quality Road Philly, JSM, Equine, Kaleem Shah, and you know she was bred and bought to be a nice horse. $800,000 purchase. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. This was down at the Gulfstream sale. She was one of the top fetches, and off that Sorrento win. So, still two upsets of various level and note, and we'll cover them and everything else. Lots to talk about, obviously, with Kentucky Downs opening. Monmouth, you had a couple of familiar graded stake winners. You had two-year-olds down there, too. The Super Derby yesterday, a big price for Steve Asmussen. Much, much more. Just getting going. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
The thoroughbred breeding industry will never be the same with the launch of Daily Racing Form's Buyer-Sire Performance Standings, presented by Darley. These groundbreaking ratings use buyer speed figures to measure a stallion's performance beyond wins and earnings, focusing on providing a measurement of a sire's true ability to produce high-quality horses. View the Buyer-Sire Performance Standings at drf.com/buyer-sire and get the true information that breeds results. That's drf.com/buyer-sire.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the 5 Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races. 20 minutes into hour one, and coming out of the Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the final 10% of the meet, 4 out of 40. And it was an interesting meet because it obviously had some challenges. And it's funny, a lot of people, you know, summarizing. And yesterday, Seth Merrow and I on TV, you know, kind of, you know, trying to summarize quickly. The overall, I think, you know, now that we're, you know, through that weather challenge, the meet's ending really strong. You know, Travers weekend and then this week. And one of the things Seth and I talked about is some of the really difficult steward decisions. And I went off a little bit yesterday on TV about the Saturday call, the double disqualification, which was just preposterous. And I just, as I've said so many times, the overall feelings toward your steward decisions is that it's out of your control, and what happens out there, you just hope, you know, over the course of time, you come out even, being put up and being taken down. And, you know, when the decisions are 50-50, 60-40, even 70-30, you know, you shrug off. What happened on Saturday was just ridiculous. And a misapplication of, basically, of, you know, of the potential to decide how, you know, how things unfolded. Yeah, you know, you had Castellano and Haseem in between a fast closing strike me down with Rosario and the leader, Final Frontier, Tom Albertrani's with Jose Lascano, and as Final Frontier comes out to bang Haseem, virtually at the same moment that Joel Rosario has gained control of Strike Me Down, who had absolutely come in. He came in, you know, quite a bit, but at the whole time, Rosario was trying to get control of Strike Me Down with his right hand, with the right rein, and he has him controlled by the time the incident to their inside occurs. And if you watch the head-on, Strike Me Down is maintaining a straight line when the two other parties connect and involve him. So Final Frontier coming down? Yeah, all right, that's fine. Final Frontier has to be placed behind Haseem. But Strike Me Down wouldn't have ever been involved had the contact from Final Frontier and Haseem initiated everything. Strike Me Down didn't do anything other than get to a path ahead of the incident. The fact that he came in a couple of paths, three paths probably, you know, from what, the eighth pole to the 16th pole, that he can do that. He didn't interfere with anybody before that. He was lugging in. Rosario's got him under control at that point, though. And a double disqualification? It's one thing when it's a marginal call and you just say, all right, this is just maddening to people. And it, you know, I don't know. I don't know how you people have got the variety of ideas that they're somehow going to magically end these frustrations. But I don't mind if a call goes the other way that I see one way, and you know, like last week I didn't like the one call, and I'm going to forget the specific parties involved, but you know, if Tom Amos thought the call was all right, if a guy like Amos can understand the ruling, then I'll accept that. This is a misapplication of rules and of, you know, the incident, and that feels, you know, much more difficult to accept. So yesterday's conversation was also included, you know, some of the overarching themes that include just handling the things that the industry can improve and can look after without much, you know, fanfare or you know, effort. You know, the things like the coordinated post times and, you know, all the things that horse players get frustrated with, and rightly so. And, you know, it would go a long way toward assuaging the consternation over stuff that's marginal and just, you know, kind of can go either way. That's all. So I wanted to get that in. It seems like this whole meet, we could not go a week. We could not get to a Monday or a Tuesday recapping the action and not deal with a decision that, you know, was either tough to accept or, in this case, inexplicable. And of course, the entertaining part is listening to poor Larry Comas having to to try to explain the unexplainable. Well, you see what happened here, and you'll see that. Ridiculous. Anyway, all right. Enough of that. I'm sure we'll get back to it. It'll be addressed by somebody along the way. Let me hit the highlights away from Del Mar and Saratoga for a minute. I mentioned Monmouth. They had a nice day on Saturday, including the Red Bank and Synchrony. Just piles up the wins for Mike Stidham and Joe Bravo. Joe had a nice trip down to Jersey Joe Town. Bravo winning three of the four stakes on Saturday. Wins the Red Bank with Synchrony. Alicia's World, more Sal Cumin for Chad Brown in the Violette. She always runs. You know, she's like a metronome. Then you had the Sorority and the Sapling, and Brenda McCarthy. Congratulations to her, the Treasure Beach, a 2-year-old filly, decorated ace with Hector Diaz, and Bill Mott sent Unionizer in and wins and got a decent fig too. 64 buyer, the Union Rags colt, Mott and Joe Bravo. Kentucky Downs got underway with a lot of interest, of course. And the racing was fun. Julian Leparoux had a somewhat, you know, mild summer here, and he won some stakes, as it happens. But it took all of one race, the first race at Kentucky Downs, for Julian Leparoux to win. That started the season off. That was some older horses going a mile and a half on the turf. Steve Asmussen sent out a campaign to kick off that season. This is a Woodford Curlin colt, and was an easy, resounding winner. Ran off and won by a half a dozen. Then the stakes action later. There was a lot of there was some good maiden too. Mark Cassie got Devious Charm home with Julian in that the start of the pick five. Things were pretty formful late in this card. And this Into Mischief filly for Tracy Farmer, bred by the Kerbers, John and Yvetta Kerber out of an AP Indy mare, Lindo, and this was, I think, her third start. We saw her at Saratoga, Devious Charm. And she turf sprint, and she stretched out from there a little bit, from 5.5 to 6.5. And she was a wire-to-wire winner. Everybody basically, it was a bit of a merry-go-round race. And then the stakes came, and Shug on leave. Nice on the nice 5-year-old mare for Stuart Janney, homebred out of the productive Megan's Joy. War front 5-year-old, and she won very much with authority as the 3-2 favorite with Florent Giroux. Bound for Nowhere. Interestingly, that we saw both Yoshida and Bound for Nowhere win on Saturday, both having made the trips to, and you know, pretty successful trips to Royal Ascot. And for Julio Garcia, a nice win in the Tourist Mile. It was the one dreamer, by the way, for Shug. But Bound for Nowhere, he had a nice run from Connor Murphy's Great Wide Open, the Irish bred, that came over from Canterbury and was 18-1. Favorite, actually, was Mr. Misunderstood, who just kind of arrived a little too late on the scene. But Bound for Nowhere, easy winner, really, in the end, of the Rich Tourist Mile. And Henley's Joy, Mike Maker, and Michael Mike Maker and his team have really kind of had a uncharacteristically dull Saratoga. They really have not run like we're used to seeing. I mean, they've got a few wins, but it really has not been a great Saratoga. But elsewhere, including here, Henley's Joy, the Kitten's Joy, bred by the Ramseys, and campaigned by Bloom Racing. And this 2-year-old wins the juvenile, coming off the maiden win at Ellis, was a $50,000 OBS April purchase. Tyler Gaffleone, in a pretty exciting finish with Joe Sharp and Calumet's Tracksmith, and they were well clear, Adam Bacisa and Gaffleone, up the hill late in the juvenile, and then the juvenile fillies. And here was Christophe Clement. Saw Christophe yesterday. We'll probably get to Christophe. And that filly, Miss Technicality, who waited since Belmont for this race. And Miss Technicality, really strong in here, and just ran away from them under Julian. 3 wins for Le Perru. Gio Ponti filly won at 6 furlongs. Beat a field that included that Speedy Solution that came back to win last week, and Breaker Maiden next out. So that may be a race to keep track of. Giopani filly out of a Broken Vow mare, double jackpot, John McCormick. And he's partnered up here with the Namcook team. And this looks like a filly that is on her way to Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. So that was the Kentucky Downs action. Florida too. We'll get to the Gulfstream, and you had some regional days, including in Pennsylvania, the Pennsylvania Day at the races. You had yesterday Minnesota breds all over the place at Canterbury. You had the All-American Futurity yesterday as well, Labor Day weekend, as Mary Rampolini reminded. And I told you it's the Super Derby. How about Steve Asmussen at, what, 40? Was it 40-1? Come on. That's not right. That's not right. And we'll talk about the Super Derby and that card as well. Lots to do. Let's take a bottom of the hour break. Gary Contessa kicks off the weekend coverage. It'll take a few days this week to sew up all the summer action. Ellis Park winding down as well. Was with Dale Romans and Tammy yesterday. Tina and I were sitting with them. Dale was holding court by the cigar bar yesterday with Bob Barron, the local owner from Voorheesville. Bob, of course, promises fulfilled. But we were sitting with Dale and Tammy as they watched what might be a nice horse at Ellis win, maiden winner. Yeah, got to keep tabs on those Ellis winners. We're going to keep tabs on Gary Contessa and Sipican Harbor, who was a little bit of a surprise. If you were watching her on track, I had picked her fourth, and I included her in the multis. And when she galloped by before the race, I said to Tina was there. I said, "You might want to bet Lipa Coy's horse." And she said, "Oh, he's 15-1." I said, "Yeah, she looked really good. She's a little thing. She's not a big horse. I mean, she's compact. But we'll talk to Gary about the growth. Maybe that also figures in, you know, to wanting to train up to Breeders' Cup." Gary Contessa next, Simon Callahan to talk about his filly winning the debutante, Johnny D, Nick Tamaro will handicap, and much, much more. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
The thoroughbred breeding industry will never be the same with the launch of Daily Racing Form's Buyer-Sire Performance Standings, presented by Darley. These groundbreaking ratings use buyer speed figures to measure a stallion's performance beyond wins and earnings, focusing on providing a measurement of a sire's true ability to produce high-quality horses. View the Buyer-Sire Performance Standings at drf.com/buyer-sire and get the true information that breeds results. That's drf.com/buyer-sire.
Are you on? University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard, too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I feel in love. Sour, my soul tastes sweet. I wanna lay
just can't sleep. It's your voodoo working. It's your voodoo working.
We're back at the races.
Round and round.
20 minutes to the top of the hour, and it is closing day at Saratoga, so horsemen and their staffs are packing up, and quite a few horses have already headed down to Belmont. When you get to the last 10 days or so, if your horse runs, and send them down on the shuttle and, you know, start to clean out the barn, and it's a little bit sad. But when you win a race like the Spinaway on closing weekend, boy, the work and you know, some of those season ending, you know, some of that part of it is easy to accept. And it's been a very good meet for the Contessa team. But when you win a Spinaway, Gary, that puts a big cherry up on the sundae. Congratulations to you and Lee Pecoit.
Thank you. That makes it a lot easier to wake up in the morning, that's for sure.
You know, it was funny because pre-race, it just so happens that Pat McKenna, the communications director, Pat came over to me and we're looking at the board and the horses are warming up, and she went by. She looked terrific. I mean, she had her neck bowed. You could really tell. She looked like a coiled spring. And Pat said, boy, what about, you know, what about Sipikin Harper? You know, she had the biggest win of the meet so far. And sure enough, I mean, that was a tremendous rally, and she wins this with authority.
You know, the cloudy area with that filly was who she beat in the maiden win. Granted, she won by 17 lengths. She ran a 12 on the Ragusan sheets, but nobody looked her in the eye that day. So to a gambler and to the public, they're saying, well, maybe she just beat up nobody. And you know what? To her trainer as well, I've always known that she trained with authority and she trained like a good horse. But there was a little bit of a cloudy area in my head. I loved the way she was coming into the Spinaway. But again, I was thinking to myself, you know what? This is going to be the acid test. We're going to find out. Is she a really legit top two-year-old filly, or did she just beat up a bunch of off-the-turfers? So she stamped herself, that's for sure.
Well, and even that race at the beginning of the meet, opening weekend, when she was fifth, beaten just four in her debut, that was a mile and a 16th on the turf. And that Chocolate Kisses, you know, looked like a good horse winning that race, and tried Stakes Company. And it just so happens you got rained off. Obviously, that's a good foundation. She was Saratoga yearling for 260, and it really did feel like, you know, I know Lee had confidence, and you know, there was a little bit of a buzz about her.
We wouldn't have traded places with anybody, but you know, I'm a firm believer that everything happens for a reason, whether it's negative or positive. And going into that race opening weekend, I didn't think she could lose that race a mile and 16th on the turf. When this filly trains, I'll work her 5/8. She'll go 101, and then she'll gallop out the next 5/8 and 101. She just, her lungs must be like trucks, because she just never gets tired, and she just keeps going and going. This is truly a filly who is going to get better at a mile and get better at a mile and an eighth and just keep getting better and better, because she seems to have an endless reserve of energy. But getting back to everything happening for a reason, I thought she couldn't lose that race on the turf. She had a lot of trouble. Rosario was blocked 90% of the race, couldn't get out. Had she won that race, we probably would have been in the P.G. Johnson or the Miss Grillo, and we would have never had the opportunity to put her on the dirt, and probably would have avoided the dirt in favor of the turf, because her turf works were as good as the dirt works.
Before I get back into the race portion of the career, take us back to the yearling purchase and picking her out. I on television yesterday and already this morning, and certainly with Sid Fernando on Wednesday, we'll talk about how important a win this is for Orb to be Orb's, you know, first Grade One winner like this, really timely ahead of Keeneland.
Well, Shug McGee was the first one to congratulate me. That team deserves a Grade One out of Orb. I mean, he's been knocking at the door. He's had some really good ones, but hasn't been able to have that Grade One winner. So I'm really glad for that team. And at the sale, you know, Orb was a little getting a little bit hot. We saw a couple of decent ones last summer. So I'm at the Saratoga sale. Lee Pecoic gives me a budget. I have a budget to work with. When I saw this filly, I look at three things. First, I look at lots of things, but the first three things I look at are shoulder, hip, and I want to look in that horse's eye. And this filly had it all. She won me when she walked out of the stall. Her look was intelligent and cool. Her shoulder is massive, and her hip is massive. And we all know the engine is in the rear. So she's got the engine. She's got the propulsion in the front. And the mind, let me tell you, Steve, a lot of horses, we've all had horses whose mind destroyed them. You know, they were their own worst enemies, and because of their, whether it be nervousness or too much energy or just being a little crazy, they just never had the opportunity to become the great horse that they could have been. This filly could care less. The funniest thing was, we're saddling her, the paddock is packed, and she yawned. And I thought that was the funniest thing. Barbara Livingston was standing there. She thought that was hilarious. I mean, here's a filly getting ready to run in the spinaway. She's in the paddock, getting the saddle on her, and she yawns. And that's how good her mind is. She just doesn't care about anything.
She's not a big horse, Gary, at least now. I mean, she's well-made and proportional, but she's not a big filly.
She's 15-3, and I think she might, you know, she might squeak close to 16, but she's good sized and she's very well proportioned. You're right. I have bigger fillies in the barn, but I don't have one with this much heart. And she's to me, she's just right. She's not too big, not too small. I think she's just right. And her stride, you know, we're very big on doing stride analysis in my barn, and we did a stride analysis on her, and you know, her stride puts her in the top 3 or 4 percentile of horses, you know, 2-year-old fillies in the country. So she's got it all to get. She's got everything you want in a horse.
Now she's out of the deputy minister mare, blossomed, and this is, which was a, had a nice page too going in. A lot of winners, and this was for 260. Feels like obviously a terrific purchase when you win a spin away and has every, having already gone 2 turns on the grass. It feels like the mile and a 16th. The looking ahead toward Breeders' Cup, that feels really within scope easily.
No question. She is better the further they go. So I'm very excited to have this opportunity. I'm very excited to have this particular horse going into the Breeders' Cup. I've been there twice with 30-1 shots. This is my first real chance to win the Breeders' Cup. And I wouldn't trade places with anybody. She's just a really amazing, amazing filly.
One of those trips was with Lee, with Arch Support, and Manhattan Dan. And what about Spite City?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, every time we went there with 30-1 shots. But we enjoyed ourselves. They all showed up to some degree. Again, we took Arch Support there. She had run, I think she was second in the Miss Grillo or something. She got enough points to get in there. But, you know, we were running against a bunch of killers, and she just wasn't quite up to task. But this filly, I got to believe, we're going in with the favorite or close to it, and that's a good feeling to have.
Unbelievable. It's also, when we bring up Lee, I got to mention that Gunmetal Gray, the 2-year-old that just won, I think 10 days ago or 2 weeks ago in California, Lee may get to Breeders' Cup not just with a starter, but with a juvenile colt that he bred that may have a big shot.
Yeah, I raced the mother, which was a class of 63, and she ran third to Rachel Alexander in a Grade One. So that she was quite nice filly. She won at Monmouth. She won it in New York. She was quite a nice filly. And all of her babies, including Gunmetal Gray, have won as 2-year-olds. So it's a very desirable thing among trainers. And it's nice to have. It's a nice thing to have, and it's nice for Lee. Lee tries to sell everything, I might add. Everything we buy, we run back, including, we sold Gunmetal Gray as a yearling because we bred him. But we had this filly in the March sale, Sipakin Harbor, and I'm very thankful that none of my peers cared for her. I mean, she would have had to bring $300,000 for us to sell her, but we wound up buying her back for $110,000 out of the March sale. Nobody liked her. She went 10-1, but they didn't see in her what we saw in her. So we bought her back, and the rest is history.
Well, that's the Bob LaPenta mode. That's his model.
Yeah, and you know, and we do that every year. I'll go to the Keeneland sale in another week, and I'll buy him 5 yearlings, and we'll have them all in the 2-year-old sale next year. This year, we sold a Will Take Charge for $550,000 in the March sale that we bought as a yearling in Saratoga, also, and she won first time out in California. So you know, so Lee is doing it right. He knows when to sell. And we hold him if we have to, and he's being rewarded for this one.
Well, there's been really a handful of horses to talk about. And before we talk about some of the other winners, I do want to mention yesterday, it was pretty interesting, and it felt like there was an opportunity on the Sunday card when Dovey Lovey came back. And I thought that off the workout notes that she had been paired up with Sipakin Harbor and held her own, and
you're very astute.
Yeah,
she is Sipakin Harbor's workmate, and she'll be going to Kentucky with her to stay with her. But she does not give up an inch to Sipakin Harbor. They work together, and they've hit the wire together. It's not like Sipakin Harbor's 3 lengths better than her. Sipakin Harbor's a neck better than her, and so I really felt positively about her yesterday. And again, just a little bit of bad luck. She's trapped down on the rail. She's not really thrilled about being there. Junior Alvarado got her outside finally, but it was a little too late, and she came running and really looked impressive finishing. And she's another filly that's going to be even better at a mile and an eighth. So given the fact that we're going to head to Kentucky with Sipakin Harbor, maybe we'll get to see Dovey Lovey break her maiden down there at Churchill.
Well, you also found yourself in a, you know, in a real pepper pot with that group of fillies, including the Havre de Grace daughter, the Tappet, Graceful Princess, who won like a good thing, as you might expect, right? And then you also had Chugs. You had the Storm Flag Flying filly come back, Dance Club. She didn't really fire, but Off Topic looked live in there, and on. I mean, that was a fancy that, the Sarah Louise daughter. That was a stacked race.
And here I am thinking I could win it. So, you know, that's going to wind up probably being a key maiden race. So, I mean, this filly, Dovey Lovey, could be another really decent filly for Lee Pecoy. I've always liked her, and she's a filly that I bought out of the 2-year-old sale this year for Lee, because we had sold so many yearlings. He says, go buy yourself another one. You know, go buy something to train. And I bought her out of the March sale for $95,000. So I kind of like her. I think she's going to be a nice, useful filly.
Now, and that's a typical Brary Jones product, include out of a Brother Derek mare, and when it comes to breeding quality, and you use the word useful, and that Brary Jones has been producing horses like that for as long as you've been in the game.
I have had, the governor has put more horses in my barn that I bought at auction over the years than anybody that have gone on to be decent horses. Really, he really is a heck of a breeder.
Speaking of useful horses and horses that have had careers, not in the barn currently, but Gary, it was so wonderful. I came down to congratulate Lee and Kathy and you, and there was Chip McEwen. And
yeah.
I was so happy to see him. And
I almost cried when I saw him.
Yeah,
He was such an ambassador to this game. Not only was he one of the most jovial, happy owners in the game, and he put up his money. We'd spend $1 million a year buying horses for him. He gave 50% of all his earnings to the Wounded Warrior Project. He took the children every year of men that were killed, the Gold Star children, of whose fathers were killed in battle, and he would take them on trips to scuba dive in the islands and the Bahamas. I mean, he was one of the most benevolent guys in the world. Then at the 2-year-old sale, 2 years ago, he suffered a massive stroke, and he was on life support for probably 2 or 3 months. He has never fully recovered, but he is now, he had me buy a two-year-old this year. When I bought that horse, Boyd Browning came running down the stairs. He said, "Wounded Warrior Stable, Chip is back." And I'm like, "Yes, Chip is back." He got on a plane. He came to Saratoga for the last 4 days. He can barely speak, but he is 100%. His mind is 100%. He knows exactly what's going on. We talked. We went to dinner together. And to see him and everybody, Irad Ortiz, trainers, everybody in the game went out of their way to shake his hand and give him a pat on the head. I mean, what an ambassador to racing Chip McEwen is.
I was thrilled. I turned and I realized right away. I said, "Oh my gosh, Chip McEwen's here!" And then I guess the barn considered him a good luck charm going into Saturday, and it paid out. And it, I mean, honestly, it was eerie that Uncle Cy was on the same card.
It was unbelievable, and we took Chip to the paddock to see Uncle Cy, and his trainer came over and shook his hand, and you know. In the 3 or 4 days that Chip was here, I won 3 races, and I kept looking at Chip, and I said, "It's all about you, Chip. It's all about you." When I won the spin away, I turned to Chip, and I said, "Chip, it's all about you, my man."
Well, it's been a great meet, and you went through 2,300 wins in your career up here at Saratoga. It was great to see Poshke win the other day, the veteran cowbred that is in the barn and a favorite of a lot of people. He's got a big following, Gary.
Man, he's a favorite of mine. I love that horse. He is, just an old professional racehorse who shows up every time. Turf, dirt, long, short. When that race came off, and it went to 7/8. I said, "Oh man, I don't think that's far enough." And he exploded. And I said, "You know what? I think Poshke just taught me something. He's a better sprinter than he is a distance horse, but he does everything. What a neat old horse."
Well, there's a few in here that broke maidens. Bustin' to Be Loved for Darlene Belinsky. What's up for Bustin'?
He's a New York bred Bustin' Stones. He has lightning speed out of the gate. He stumbled coming out of the gate and ripped his front shoe off and grabbed his quarter really bad in the stake and still ran third. He is an amazing horse, and he's very fast. I do believe he will be, you know, if God willing and this horse stays sound, he will probably win the stake at Belmont on the 21st, and I think he's a major contender when it comes to New York bred two-year-old colts. Just a very fast horse, very easy on himself, and very talented.
Well, it's been clearly, when you win a spinaway, it's a special Saratoga. They're all pretty special. I also want to check in on Jennifer, who's had to deal with some Lyme disease. How's she making out?
Well, she's Lyme disease. She's in her 8th year of battling Lyme disease, and it goes into remission. It comes back. It's neurological Lyme disease, and it's affected a lot of her kidney function, and it's affected her liver, and it's affected her spleen, and it's really embedded in her. So she's on a PICC line. She has a PICC line that goes in her arm right to her heart. We give her IV antibiotics every single day. She's been on antibiotics for the last 2 or 3 months, but she's there. She's been with me at the races every day, and she's feeling pretty decent. She's as tough as Poshke. She gets up every morning, takes care of the kids. We have 5 dogs, takes care of the dogs. She's an amazing, amazing person, and I'm blessed to have her.
Well, I wanted to ask, I know earlier in the meet, they asked me to pinch hit for you at Captain, and I was delighted to do it. I know how much that has meant to the two of you over the years for the fundraising.
We love that organization, and we heard you did a great job, and we really thank you for that. And hopefully Jen will be well enough, and we can maybe all 3 of us will do it next year.
Nice. Well, Gary, it's really a wonderful story. Lee Pecoy has put a lot into the game for a lot of years, and to be rewarded with a 2-year-old like this, really, really special. It's what everybody in this game tries to find and achieve. Congratulations.
Well, thank you so much, Steve.
Gary Contessa. And Gary, another outfit that has done a lot to introduce people to the game, and brings people to the barn and brings them, you know, on the front side in the afternoons, outgoing, and just to have a win like this, clearly a horse that can impact when we get to Churchill for Breeders' Cup. Let's take a top of the hour break. Johnny D standing by. We'll talk to Johnny about the season ending fun in the sun. It's been fun in the sun, and today, actually, the sun is here. It is, after all the wet weather, it's nice to end the season with a sunny, bright day. It's going to be hot, too, I think, because it's warm already. I went down this morning at about 5:30, and I thought it's going to be a hot day if it's this warm now. Usually closing day, it starts out in the 40s most years. But we're going to have a warm, beautiful day at Saratoga, and big crowds. I tell you, Saturday, we've gotten used to closing Saturday crowd. Usually then Sunday and Labor Day have been a little quieter. But yesterday, they gave away those ponchos yesterday. Whenever there's a new giveaway that's never been done before, the people come out of the woodwork for a tchotchke. Big crowd yesterday, and I think there'll be a good crowd today to wrap up Saratoga. And same thing's happening out west. We don't have to worry about it not being a nice day there, Del Mar. Let's take a break. Johnny joins us next. Get his summer wrap-up and much, much more. Simon Callahan ahead, Nick Tamaro. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get 5 full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF past performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for 5 of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multi-track today.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However, there are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.